would take out a Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to look there together as we celebrate this Christmas day. Luke chapter 2. If you did not bring a Bible with you, I encourage you to take the Bible out of the pew rack in front of you. Right there, most of them are red, might be black, but take that out, turn to Luke chapter 2. We want you to follow along as we read today, and I tell you what, if you don't have a Bible at home, consider that a Christmas present on Christmas Day, and you can take it home with you. We encourage every household to have a copy of God's Word so that you can read it for yourself and come closer to God every day. So take that Bible out and turn to Luke chapter 2. Wow, choir, you were awesome. And wasn't that great, the Spanish music? I didn't even know I could play in Spanish. It was awesome. That was so great to be able to celebrate Christmas in that way. But in Luke chapter 2, we're going to kind of wrapping up because Christmas Day is here. It's here. I mean, it's today. No more countdown. No more Advent. We don't have to wait anymore or prepare for the coming of Christ. He has come. So what do we do today when we talk about in searching for the King? Well, we're going to look at it through two other characters. We're going to continue to look at the people within the Christmas story, but there are a couple of people that happen that come into the play, into the story after Christmas. Now, we did talk about the Magi, and we know they're after Christmas, but Simeon and Anna, two people in the temple we're going to read about in just a moment. Because now that Christmas is here, I could ask, hey, did you get what you wished for? Did you get what you wanted for Christmas? Did you get it? Some said, I was talking to a few people outside, they said, no, we didn't celebrate yet. We're waiting until after the service. Like some of those kids, you know, so let's move it along. But maybe you opened some presents. Maybe on this Christmas day, you got what you wanted, or maybe you didn't. We've been talking for the last 4 weeks about what we really want for Christmas. We've talked about hope. Did you get hope? Have you really known? I need you to know today on Christmas Day that there is a God, there is life beyond this world, that there is a hope bigger than us. You can have that today on this Christmas Day. There is peace that goes beyond understanding, peace that's beyond anything you can find in this world that comes through God. Did you find that? Do you have that in your heart today? Do you have in your heart today that joy that runs deep? That joy that allows you to sing even in the midst of trouble? That joy that keeps you focused on a God who loves you? Do you have that today? Do you have that love? Have you experienced the love of God today on this Christmas day? Maybe you haven't. I want you to know that this Christmas day, you can have all those things. And if you have received it, did you receive it the way you thought you would? Did it come the way you expected? You know, because a lot of times it doesn't. We learned that from Mary and Joseph, didn't we? That sometimes Christmas comes in ways we don't expect. We get that peace and that hope and that joy from being involved in God's plan, and that's not always our plan. But as we get involved in it, as we experience Him, we experience a love, we experience a joy that's beyond anything we could have imagined. And when we talk about hindsight as 2020, we can look back over our lives, and if we've walked with the Lord, we can see that God has had a plan. That we've experienced things in a way that maybe it wasn't the way we planned, but it's what God had in mind. In fact, maybe sometimes it was uncomfortable. Sometimes God stretched you a little bit. Sometimes God took you to places where you didn't want to be, but it was for your own good. Can I remind you something on this, the last Sunday of the year, and as we approach the new year, that God this coming year, again, is more interested in building your character than keeping you comfortable. He's more concerned about your character than your comfort. You need to know that because He loves you so much that He'll do anything to make you into all He created you to be. You have a purpose, and there is a plan. So as we look at that, we can review some of the things, and if you've got that yellow sheet in your bulletin there, you can just track along with it, and that is that we talked about Joseph and Mary, we talked about the Magi, and that how determined they were, and the shepherds and how loved they felt, even though they were the lowest in society. Jesus came to the shepherds first because the point was that God's love loves from the bottom up. And angels, last night we learned that we must know that He gave it all up for our salvation. He gave it all up. He gave up His position, He gave up His privileges, and He gave up His protection so that we could know that He loves us that much. So in Luke chapter 2, the story continues. It doesn't stop in the manger as we told the children today. Once you pack away the manger, the story continues. The love, the hope, the peace, it's not just a Christmas gift. It's a gift for all year round. So I want to take your attention to Luke chapter 2, and I want us to go to verse 21. It's after the Christmas story. It's closed down now. The boxes have been packed. The people are out of the manger. And here we are in verse 21. Would you follow along with me? We're going to read from 21 through 38. Follow along with me in your Bible. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Now there was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them in that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at these verses on this Christmas day, Father, we pray that you would encourage us now that Christmas is here, now that you are here, Lord, now that you are with us, now that we know you love us. What next? What should we do now? Now that Christmas is here, Lord, what would you direct us to do? May we walk closer to you as we leave this place today. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, there are some, so Christmas is here, but I want to say that we have found Jesus now in searching for the King. That's been our theme all through the series, but now we have found the King. We're finding the King here in the temple in Jerusalem. So what now? What now? Now that Christmas is here, it won't be long till the only thing left of Christmas in your house is the rattling of those needles through your vacuum cleaner. You know? It's that smell of pine that you still smell after the tree is gone. Maybe there's an overgrown trash can in front of your house next week with paper in it. Boxes, empty boxes. But that's all that's left of the Christmas celebration. But what now? Now that we have found the King, now that we know the message, now that we've been reminded, what can we do? What does the rest of the year bring? I want to look at these people and these verses that we've read, because what we find, I think, is a good example of, now that Christmas is over, now that Christmas has come, what do we do? The first people in our picture here are Mary and Joseph. Now, you notice that there's a lot of obedience going on here. In fact, I would say that for Mary and Joseph, one of the things, the lessons that we can learn, is that once Christmas comes, once we learn of the love that God has for us, that we will be obedient to what God has revealed to us. We will be obedient. They were continually obedient. When Jesus came, he didn't just destroy all of the law. Joseph and Mary were a good Jewish couple. They kept the law. They kept the customs, the traditions. After all, this was their culture. All of these things Joseph and Mary continued with. They didn't say, well, we've just had the Son of God. He's just come into the manger. Everything changes now. You know, all of religion falls apart. We don't have to do sacrifices anymore. We don't have to do this anymore. We don't have to follow the rules. Jesus is here. We're all set free. And so there are people today that believe that. They believe that, well, you know, as long as we love one another, as long as we love Jesus, and that's cool, and Jesus came, and we don't have to think about the Ten Commandments anymore, and we don't have to read the Old Testament, and we don't have to go by the law because Jesus set us free, so now we can just kind of do what we want, kind of willy-nilly, as long as we love each other. Well, that's not exactly true. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, I did not come to destroy the law, to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. The principles that God gave us throughout the Old Testament, through the Ten Commandments, through other directions, through ways that we interact with each other, the commandments to love one another and love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our minds, those things still are true. Jesus came to illustrate it. He came to fulfill it. So you know what Joseph and Mary did? They kept going to church. They kept doing what a good Jewish couple does. And here we find several things in this scripture as we start that Mary and Joseph did. They had a presentation. Every firstborn male in a household, according to Exodus 13, is to be presented and redeemed in the temple. They're supposed to be consecrated. In fact, every person, when you had their firstborn son, you had to go to the temple and pay 5 shekels for the redemption of that son, so that he would not have to be in the priesthood for the rest of his life. It was the law. There was a law about purification of a new mother. After she has a baby, a certain time goes by, and they come to the temple and they offer a sacrifice. In fact, this gives us an idea of Mary and Joseph and who they were, because in Leviticus 12:8 it says that you can come and you offer a lamb as a sacrifice after the birth of a baby, but if you're poor and you can't afford it and you're in the lower class, you would offer 2 young pigeons or 2 doves. Here, Mary offers 2 doves. They were poor. Joseph and Mary were not well off. They were just common folk. They came to fulfill the law. They traveled to Jerusalem to do that. Now, one interesting fact is that they don't pay the 5 shekels. In fact, the word is specifically given here that they presented Jesus to the priests. They didn't put him for redemption, which means that, like Samuel back in the Old Testament, that they were presenting Jesus as a priest. They were presenting him to be into the ministry. They were presenting him to the Lord. Not buying him back, not redeeming him. So Mary and Joseph, continual obedience. But 2 other people come into the arena here, and we don't normally pay attention to them at Christmas time. There's Simeon, the old prophet. And as we see here, Simeon was waiting and watching for the consolation of Israel. It says that he was righteous and devout. Okay, we know that that was the same thing they said about Joseph. Somebody who was right with the Lord. Somebody who was devoted to the practice of his religion. Two things I would point out here. It says that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple. You see the common thread here? He was somebody who was Spirit-filled. Now what does that mean? What does that mean? Because as Simeon comes to see, and this Christmas has come, he knows the Lord loves him. Here is the revelation of this, the Christ child. And he is walking in the Spirit. Spirit-led. We don't know if he was on the way to the temple or if he would have been at the temple that day, but the Spirit wanted him there. Spirit-filled doesn't, it's not something that's so evasive to all of us. It is something that we can grab onto. To be Spirit-filled is to be as one with the Lord. It means to be right with God. For His Spirit to be able to speak to you. It's like two people walking together. They're not always talking, but they're always together, present with one another. Therefore, if one wants to talk to the other, they're right there. And so God can talk to you. You can talk to God. You're always open. You're always listening. You're always waiting and watching. That's Spirit-filled. Allowing the Spirit to speak to your heart. Many of you have experienced that. Not only was he Spirit-filled, but he had some things to say to Mary and Joseph that I think were a little bit striking. First of all, he acknowledges who Jesus is. He acknowledges that he is the Savior, but he speaks the truth as well. And the truth is that Christ has come for everyone. He uses the word again, the Gentiles, to everybody, Israel and the Gentiles. But he says that even though Christmas is for everyone, even though Christ is for everyone, not everyone wants Christmas. Did anybody find that out this Christmas season? You know, anybody? You said Merry Christmas and somebody said Happy Holidays. They didn't want to say Christmas. Not everybody likes Christmas. Not everybody accepts it. Not everybody wants a Christ. Not everybody wants a king. Some people want to be their own king. Some people want to be their own Lord. Christmas is kind of threatening if you think about it. It's not about, it's okay as long as we keep Jesus in a manger as a baby. You know? Because a baby, he doesn't threaten me at all. But a Savior, a Lord, a King, that's threatening. Somebody who requires me to worship Him. Somebody who requires me to submit to His leadership. Somebody who requires me to say, "You're my Lord, my King, my Creator." Now, I'm not sure. And hence, since that first Christmas 2,000 years ago, that baby Jesus has become the source of the rising and the falling, as Simeon says, of many people. Because some have rejected Christmas. They've rejected His Lordship. It's okay if He's a baby. Let's keep Him in the manger. But Simeon speaks the truth, and we are required to speak the truth. Now that we know Christmas, now that we know about the love of Christmas, now we know what the meaning is, we need to share that with the world. That needs to hear it. It's more than just a way in a manger. It's about a Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. We need to speak the truth. So we need to be Spirit-filled and speak the truth. Now, if you look, there's another person that comes into play, and that's Anna. Now, this is biblical times 2,000 years ago when 84 years old was old. So I'm just letting you know that. That's not old anymore, right? It says there was this prophetess, Anna, and she was really old. She was 84. I'm thinking, 84? Come on. She's not old. But back then, that's a long time to live. Not many people live that long, but there she was, Anna, the faithful. We find out that she was very faithful. Even after the death of her husband, she continued to serve the Lord and dedicate herself to the Lord. And as a widow, she lived for many years in the temple, worshiping day and night, fasting and praying. And I think there's three things that Anna models for us. As she was waiting for the Christ, she was continuing to remain faithful. In these areas, number one, she remained faithful in prayer, constantly praying and fasting. Friends, if we want to continue to have Christmas all year round, if we want to continue to experience the love of Christ in our lives, we have to be faithful in prayer. Praying each day. Praying, yes, praying over your meals. Yes, praying before you go to bed at night. But in a spirit of prayer constantly. Going to the Lord with your troubles, casting your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Anna was constantly praying and fasting. Number two, she was thankful for the present. She came, and I love the way it says it here when Luke writes it. He says, as she comes to them, it says that she immediately gives thanks. That very moment she gave thanks to God and spoke about a child who all were looking forward to. She was thankful for the very present, the things that God has given at that very moment. Are you thankful today? You say, it's not Thanksgiving, it's Christmas. Yeah, but are you thankful? You have a spirit of gratitude, one that allows you to say, I'm thankful this very moment. She didn't have to think about it. At that very moment, she was thankful. Friend, you have a lot to be thankful for. The very fact that we're able to be here today. Thankful always. She was also hopeful for the promise. It says she was thankful and began to speak on behalf of those who have been waiting and looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. This little baby had not redeemed Jerusalem. This little baby was still born into an Israel that was occupied by the Romans. They were not free. Jerusalem was occupied by the enemy. But she knew that Christ was coming to redeem. And she rejoiced in that hope. The promise is true. We live in the hope that Christ will finish the work that He began in each of us. Salvation happens in a moment, but then it continues throughout your lifetime. To become all that Christ meant for you to be is to continue to have a hope in a God who works in your life and in your spirit. Like Anna, we need to be faithful. Like Simeon, we need to watch and wait for the promises of God. Like Mary and Joseph, we need to continually be obedient. After today, after Christmas, we need to keep it going. What can we learn from this? Can I tell you today, let me remind you of some simple facts that you should carry into the next year that finish out this year. God loves us. Amen? Amen. God loves us. That's what you mean when you say Merry Christmas. God loves us. He leads us. He moves us. He's with us. Just like He loved Simeon enough to move him to go to the temple, to keep him, to reveal to him the things that He promised him. He loves us. He watches you. He pursues you. He is God with us, Emmanuel. He is here. He loves us. Number two, God fulfills His promises. He fulfills His promises. He had promised. You know, Anna had lived 84 years waiting for the promise. Simeon had gone to the temple waiting, waiting, waiting for the Lord. God showed up. He fulfills His promises. What has God promised you? What has God promised you? In the Scriptures, we find many things that God promises us, that He will watch over us, that He will walk with us through anything, through any trial or trouble, that He'll always get us through us, that He will take our cares, that He will give us comfort, that he will give us encouragement. It doesn't say that we will always be healed. It doesn't say that we will always have everything go great with no problems. But it does say Christ will always be with us. Do you look for that promise? Do you look for his presence? He fulfills his promises. And thirdly, we must watch and wait for it. Simeon, Anna, Mary, Joseph, at any point in time, they could have said, no. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. Simeon, he might have been tired that day, and the Spirit moved him to go to the temple. Nah, I don't feel like going to temple today. After all, it's Christmas. Why go to church on Christmas? But he did. Could have said no. They could say no. They had a part. You have a choice. You have a decision to make this Christmas and the rest of the year. To watch, to wait. We have a part. Say yes to Jesus. Say yes to God. Let me remind you of three things. In finding the King, we must continue to be, like Simeon, led by the Holy Spirit. In other words, keeping ourselves before the Lord, keeping ourselves watching and waiting, listening to the Lord, waiting for his leading, taking our cares to him. But not only that, but we must continue to be looking, number two, for God's promises, watching for his blessings. Would you do me a favor? After you pack away the Christmas decorations, can you keep on looking for God's blessing? Can you keep on looking for Jesus everywhere you go? Keep watching for him. Seeing it in a smile of a young child. Seeing it as things go a certain way, as you sense somebody that's encouraged by a word that you have to say. As you receive that hug, as you receive that thank you note, could you look for Christ? Look for his promises. And then thirdly, and most importantly, like Mary and Joseph, can we walk, continue to be walking in obedience every day? You know, sometimes God doesn't share with us anymore because we haven't done what he shared with us already. Some things we know for sure. God says, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, if you do those two things, everything else will fall into place. Those things we know. You love God today? You love each other? We need to continue to walk in obedience. What's God showed you? What do you know about him? Obey it. Continue to be faithful in your obedience today, Christmas Day, and every day this year, that he might be glorified and we might hear his message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this service, this Christmas Day, as we begin to think about where to put things away and how to pack things up, as we think about the gifts that we've received and what we want to do with them, Father, may we not pack up the message. As we wrap the pieces of the manger carefully in tissue, may we not put in the box the message that you love us, that you've come to show us the way, and that we can know you personally. Guide us now, Lord God, as we go from this place, and may we be a blessing to you by loving each other and loving you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have our closing hymn. It's both an invitation and it's an expectation, and that is to go tell it on the mountain. It's a great Christmas song. It's a Christmas song that reminds us of the shepherds in that they experienced Christ and then they went and told. They went and told everybody else. Christmas is more than just a day. It's more than just presents and a tree. It's more than a manger and a baby. It is about a Christ who loves us, who has given us meaning in life and fulfills us, gives us the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love that we have all wanted and waited for. So may God bless us. And maybe today you would like to make a decision. You can do that right where you stand. And I encourage you to do that. During this hymn, we have a time of your response to Christ. Maybe you don't know the Lord and you'd like somebody to pray with you. We'd be happy to do that. Maybe today you're saying, I'm looking for a church home. And on this Christmas day, you want to become a part of our church family. We open our doors to you. We're a simple church, but we're a church that doesn't leave Jesus in the manger. We take Jesus out into the world and share with the world that they are loved. If you'd like to be a part of that mission with us, we welcome you to be a part of our church. But today is a day, and today's a day for you to walk a step closer to Christ, whoever you are and wherever you are. Let's stand, let's sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Christmas. Oh, what a day to be in the house of the Lord. May you go from this place blessed by God and take the love, the joy, the peace, and the hope that you've received here out into a world that desperately needs to hear it. We can be shining lights amidst some folks' darkness, and that is our quest, that is our mission as the people of God. So may you go from this place blessed. I hope that you'll take an opportunity to encourage one another, to again bless each other as we leave this place. May you continue your celebration in your homes and be safe in that way. We're going to pray now and be dismissed. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day, a day when we can celebrate here within this sanctuary dedicated to the worship of you. We can worship you and celebrate your birth. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for not remaining a baby in a manger, but becoming our victorious Savior and Lord. We love you, God. And now go with us. Give us strength and courage as we take a message outside these walls that you are a God of love and forgiveness and that you can give us purpose. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.